You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms, including the ones that I do every week. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who always does the most. And I hope you guys are having a wonderful Friday, April 16th, as you tune into this podcast once again to listen to me talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates, talk about Major League Baseball, talk about anything that you guys and everybody wants to hear. As tonight, on April 16th of the year 2021, the Pittsburgh Pirates will face off against the Milwaukee Brewers tonight at 8:10 Eastern Time in what we can usually call the House of Horrors. As the Pittsburgh Pirates sit at 5-8 right now, and in their last 13 games against the Milwaukee Brewers in Miller Park, well, formerly Miller Park, I don't remember the name of it now, the Pirates are 2-11. So maybe the name change will give them some semblance of turning things around when they head to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to take on the Milwaukee Brewers this weekend. And a very interesting development that I talked about yesterday is the Pirates being at 5-8 right now. The Brewers are 7-5. If the Pirates can somehow come out of this series winning 2 out of 3, they could be like a game and a half away from first place in the NL Central. If they can come away with a sweep, they would be ahead of Milwaukee in the standings. But only time will tell. And I predicted this in the last series. So we saw how the last series with San Diego went with the offenses. I predicted the last series was going to be a very defensive series. In some ways it was, in some ways it wasn't. But tonight, you get JT Brubaker for the Pittsburgh Pirates against Adrian Hauser for the Milwaukee Brewers. To put something into context for this pitching matchup is, of course, that's not a matchup that you would look on paper and be like, wow, that's like a really good matchup for pitching. I have to watch this game and tune in. As Pirate fans, we'll obviously tune in. But JT Brubaker and Adrian Hauser right now both have, I believe, 2 or 3 starts. Or no, they're making their 3rd starts tonight. And to start with Adrian Hauser on the opposition side of things, he has a 1.80 ERA. So he's allowing less than 2 runs in his first 2 starts. And then JT Brubaker has a 1.93 ERA. And when we look at Brubaker, I think he's arguably been the best pitcher on the staff outside of Tyler Anderson so far. And I mean, we saw Brubaker only go 4 innings in his first start, where he gave up his only run. But then in his second outing, he had 5 1/3 innings. And again, to say it, he's only allowed 1 run over the course of 9 1/3 innings, which is not bad at all. And it came off of a solo home run, which is also the only run that Brubaker has allowed so far. And he also has a pretty solid strike-to-ball rate. I mean, he has 10 batters that he struck out and only walked 5. So, I mean, it looks like Brubaker and that really good slider have been doing pretty well. And Adrian Hauser, on the other hand of things, he's pitched 10 innings as well. He went 5 in each of those starts. He's walked almost 15% of his batters and only has struck out 17%. So one thing, again, that I will say, and if the Pirates do want to win tonight, patience at the plate will be a priority again. And the Pirates are one of the best teams in baseball right now when it comes to getting on base via the walk. Yes, they've been getting hit by pitches because that San Diego Padres series was a lot more like fighty and gritty than we thought it would be. But the Pirates, if they can manage to go out there, yes, they strike out a ton, but if they can go out there and Hauser's not hitting the strike zone, throwing balls, and the Pirates can get on base, maybe 5 runs wins this game. Maybe. Because both, like, so when you look at this pitching matchup specifically for tonight, you have 2 guys, again, that are below 2 in their ERA right now, which means they're both pitching really well. And they seem to go about five innings. Like, their average innings, I believe, is like 4 2/3 between the two. And if they both go out there and say maybe they give up one run apiece in those five innings and it's a 1-1 game, who do you give the advantage to when it comes to facing guys in the bullpens that each team has that have been playing really well, like a Devin Williams, like a Josh Hader, like a Dwayne Underwood, like a Luis Oviedo, like a David Bednar, like Richard Rodriguez, maybe even Freddie Peralta? I believe Peralta is slated to start one of these games as well. But this could be a very interesting game in terms of defense. And whoever scores three or four runs first might win this game. And the Pirates, to me, I would say in games that are less high scoring are more favored to win, because when your pitching staff isn't already that great, but your offense has been doing pretty solid for the most part when it comes to Colin Moran, Philip Evans, Jacob Stallings, Adam Frazier, etc., if you can score runners in scoring position, they can win this game. And I wouldn't say this is their best chance to win a game, but if Brubaker continues to pitch like this and pitch below a 2 ERA, he's going to cement himself as a starting pitcher in this rotation for a while. And I don't say that out of the faint of heart just because he's doing it this year with this team, but JT Brubaker, for a lot of people that might not know, the kid is only 27. He's not really a kid, but 27 is not that old for a starting pitcher. It's really not. And you look at his career, and he's a career 4.45 ERA guy in 13 games and 11 starts. That's still not bad, though. That's around what Chad Kuhl was at. But in 2020, in spring training, he had a 5.4 ERA in 5 starts, 13 strikeouts, only 3 walks. So he showed it there. And then last year, of course, he was 1-3 last year, but he had a 4.94 ERA, 48 strikeouts, 17 walks. Not terrible. He only hit 3 batters. He allowed 26 runs in 9 starts. That's still not terrible, though. And that was over 47 and one-thirds innings pitched. And then again, you look this year as well, he hasn't hit a batter, or he's hit 2 batters. But again, he has technically 2 earned runs. But in those 2 starts so far, he's only allowed 7 hits over 9 1/3. That's not bad at all. You really have to look into that when you look into how good Brubaker has actually been this year. And, his on-base percentage and slugging percentage is not terrible, but he's only allowing a .200 batting average right now and a .333 on-base percentage. It's not bad. And his average exit velocity, too, if you're really into that, the MLB average exit velocity is 88 miles per hour. He's almost 2 miles per hour lower than that against opposing hitters with an 86.6, and I talked about this on the podcast yesterday. The Brewers aren't exactly hitting the ball really well either. So if the Pirates, again, can get out to a quick start from Brubaker and say he goes 5 innings again and only allows 1 or 2 runs, and the Pirates offense puts up some runs, the Pirates can put themselves in a very good spot to win this first game of the series. And, the Brewers, of course, are probably the betting favorites. But if you want to bet on that, make sure you check out betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKED15 for your 50% welcome bonus, meaning they will give you free money for putting money on betonline.ag with your first deposit. You can bet on Major League Baseball, basketball, even MLS soccer is coming up tomorrow and today. You can bet on hockey, whatever you would like to, the NFL draft, but make sure you do it at betonline.ag. And when we come back for the next segment, Todd Frazier and Brian Goodwin have not seen any time with the Pirates as of yet this season, but if they don't, they have a chance to opt out. Do they do it, and could it spell an issue for Pittsburgh? And I'll be right back. Tune into this podcast every day to hear me talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates and everything developing with them every Monday through Friday. But do you need to know everything else that's going on in sports? Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts like myself. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app, that is Audacy, or wherever you get your podcasts. What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to the next segment of today's Friday, April 16th, 2021 episode of Locked On Pirates. Of course, I am your host, Ethan Smith. I hope you guys, again, have had a wonderful week. I mean, it's been a pretty fun time to watch Pirates baseball. They've won four out of their last six, going into Milwaukee, the House of Horrors, to see if they can maybe cement themselves up there in the NL Central first place conversation, if they can do some stuff. But as of right now, the Pirates have not really made any roster moves outside of trading Edgar Santana to the Atlanta Braves. So we haven't seen much change in what's been going on in the 26-man roster. Obviously, like we saw, Key Brian Hayes also go down with an injury, and he is making good progress also. But we'll see. But when it comes to two guys the Pirates acquired this offseason, and Brian Goodwin and Todd Frazier, Rob Berthamal of The Athletic tweeted that both infielder Todd Frazier and outfielder Brian Goodwin have May opt-out dates in their minor league contracts with the Pittsburgh Pirates. So could this be an interesting dilemma for Pittsburgh where, yeah, Key Brian Hayes is still hurt, Phillip Evans has been doing really well in his place, and the center field production has not been that great, and Brian Goodwin, of all the players on the Pittsburgh Pirates and in the system, has the most experience out there. It'd be very interesting to see what the Pirates decide to do here. And I mean, you look at how Frazier did in spring training over his 34 plate appearances. He slashed .250, .353, and .643 with three home runs. So, I mean, Frazier, obviously, we all really enjoyed Todd Frazier's time in spring training. It looked like he was going to be a big part of helping Key Brian Hayes develop as a very strong player. We also remember he opted out of his contract at the end of camp, trying to find somewhere else to play, but he ended up re-signing a new minor league deal shortly after. And then you go to Brian Goodwin. He slashed .229, .317, and .371 in his spring. And we all remember last year his disastrous just time with the Cincinnati Reds. You saw that last year in a shortened year, but the last full year that Goodwin had was with the Los Angeles Angels in 2019-2020. Where he played or batted .258, .327, .469 over 567 plate appearances. And I mean, in over 1,000 at bats as a major leaguer, he's a .250 hitter in his career. But I mean, Goodwin's also a veteran, and I think they should keep him, and I would prioritize him over Todd Frazier just because if the outfield, like especially the center field depth, just doesn't get any better and you don't want to bring up Jared Oliver or Cole Tucker yet, I think you have to keep in mind that Goodwin is probably your best option as a center fielder. And again, Anthony Alford and Dustin Fowler are both still young. This is the first time that they're really getting a lot of major league at-bats and plate appearances and playing time. But right now, I mean, the duo, as I mentioned yesterday, was not hitting the baseball well, and Fowler right now is 5 for 30. Alford's 1 for 20. His first hit was yesterday, and I mean, he's struck out 15 out of those 24 trips so far. And I mean, Ben Sherrington, of course, is being patient, which he should be. We're only a couple weeks into the year, but do you want to take the risk of losing a guy like Brian Goodwin, who you know you can throw out there and actually get some production out of as an opt-out? Or do you stay patient and then keep him there and you have him as an option? Because if he opts out, you don't even get the chance. And as I said yesterday, and Charrington said this to MLB.com, we've got a lot of young players out there who are getting a chance to play at the major league level for the first time with any level of consistency. And he's not wrong, but the tricky part of it is Alford and Fowler are both out of minor league options, which would expose them to waivers, as I also mentioned yesterday. So bringing up Goodwin is a little difficult. And then on the Todd Frazier side of things, I mean, Colin Moran looks like he's been very suitable to play first base so far. He's been hitting the baseball well. He's been playing good defensively. And Key Brian Hayes being injured has kind of like put Phillip Evans at third. But Eric Gonzalez is up there in the team leading in RBIs. And Wilmer Defoe has not exactly been that bad either, and both can play third base behind Key Brian Hayes once Hayes re-enters the lineup and Evans moves elsewhere. So I don't think Frazier's impact would be as big as Brian Goodwin's. So we'll see what happens, but I mean, the pair of 26-year-olds you have in the center field right now in Alford and Fowler are just not getting it done. But, I mean, again, it's still very early. We're only 13 games into the year. But I think Brian Goodwin, of the two, would have to be the guy that you'd have to prioritize the most, just because it's, again, how do the Pirates feel about bringing up Jared Oliva again? Travis Swaggerty's obviously not ready. Neither is Hudson Head. Neither is Cal Mitchell or Caden Smith. Not really anybody in their system is ready outside of Jared Oliva and Cole Tucker, but we saw Cole Tucker play center field last year, and it just did not look that great. So, for me, I mean, I would love to keep Goodwin and Frazier, but if they do opt out and go elsewhere, I think it would make sense for both of them as they maybe try to go get a World Series ring with a team that might need it. There are some teams that do need, like, some outfielding depth, like the Cleveland Indians, who have kind of gotten off to a weird start this year, could flirt with the idea of picking up Brian Goodwin if he opts out, which would not be a bad thing for them. And, I mean, the Pirates also, I think, need to look at, like, some free agents as well if they wanted to, like, see some more production in certain places. But you really look at who's available, and it's mostly pitching. And I don't think the Pirates really want to miss or mess with the starting rotation too much, even though it's not that good. Like, guys like Edwin Encarnacion are there, but he's obviously more of an AL guy. He'd be a DH, and the Pirates wouldn't be able to use him. But, I mean, you have guys there in free agency like a Cole Hamels, but most of these guys would probably really want to go to a contending team rather than a rebuild in Pittsburgh. But Anibal Sanchez is another guy that comes to mind. Rick Porcello, other guys like that. Strong arms that could help teams like that. But I don't think the Pirates really look into it too much. But again, you really look into the Goodwin and Frazier stuff. And both of them were brought in for a reason. They were brought in more or less as, if we really need you, we'll play you. But I don't think either of them really wants to be in that status. For Frazier, I think his market is lower than Goodwin's would be, as we saw whenever he tried to explore elsewhere on the market. It just didn't work for him. Brian Goodwin, on the other hand, teams can always use outfielding depth. It's something they can always use. It's something that they will, like, always look for. And again, I brought up the Cleveland Indians. The Oakland Athletics could be another team that could look at Brian Goodwin. There's a couple teams. I mean, Christian Pache is on the IL for the Atlanta Braves. Maybe they look to add another bat to their lineup from the outfield. It's just something that we'll have to wait and see. I mean, they're not allowed to opt out until May, so it'll be like a couple weeks before we really see if it comes to fruition. But I also wanted to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the awesome tasting protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, 100% chocolate covered, high in protein, high in fiber. Make sure you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off of your next order, meaning you could be an existing customer of the wonderful protein bars that are Built Bars and still get 15% off of your next order online at BuiltBar.com. Let them know Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates or the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. And when I come back for my final segment, I know we're being on, like, in a weird little way of being positive and negative today, but when we come back, what is wrong with Mitch Keller? Like, what is wrong with Mitch Keller? How can he fix it if it's fixable? And could it cost Oscar Marin his job? And we will be right back. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. I haven't been doing too great. I'm 0-1 right now, but maybe I should check out this podcast to learn some more. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast on the Odyssey app. Remember, that is AUDACY, or wherever you get your podcasts. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the final segment of today's episode of Locked On Pirates. And to just get right into it in this segment, what in the world is wrong with Mitch Keller, and why is he struggling so much? So if you're a Pirates fan and have been a Pirates fan for at least the last couple years, we all know that in 2019, Mitch Keller was probably, like, the most highly touted pitching prospect in all of baseball. Like, it was actually one of those things. Like, people were like, okay, the Pirates are going to have Mitch Keller to replace Tyler Glasnow and Gerrit Cole. He's going to be their ace for the next 5 or 6 years. He's going to be an absolutely bonkers pitcher with crazy stuff. And realistically, in 2019, even though he posted the highest batting average BIP in MLB history, let's not talk about that, he looked great. I mean, he was in AAA in 2019 and then got the call up. But while he was in AAA, 103 and two-thirds innings, 3.56 ERA and a 1.12 whip. That ERA was fourth best in AAA. And I mean, he had the fifth best whip also. And then you look at his strikeout rate. I mean, he struck out batters 28% of the time while in AAA. He had a home run per nine rate lower than one. And that was second in AAA. And it looked like Keller was absolutely the best freaking like pitcher in the Pirates system by far. Not even just in the Pirates system, in general. And let's hope this same thing doesn't happen to Quinn Priester, not to throw that on him. But, I mean, then you saw what happened when he got to the major league level. I mean, he had a 7.13 ERA and a 475 batting average on balls in play. So, again, we go back to that, and I mean, that is the highest single-season batting average on balls in play by any pitcher to throw at least 40 innings. Not only in the last, like, 20 years, not in the last 10 years, not in the last 50, in all of Major League Baseball history. But, I mean, even then, when you looked at that, he was still striking people out. It was just whenever they hit the baseball. But, like, when he was striking people out, he was striking out at a 28% rate. And, I mean, he only had a 7% walk rate and a 1.13 home runs per nine. Like, he still looked really good despite that astronomical 475 batting average on balls in play, which, I mean, literally, that meant, okay, you're either going to strike out against Mitch Keller, or if you put the ball in play, you're going to get a hit. Pretty much one out of two times. So, like, of course, I've always said this. He got off to the weirdest start that any pitcher in MLB history has ever gotten off to. I mean, you have that high of a batting average on balls in play, but you also almost strike guys out 3 out of 10 times. That's insane. Like, that just doesn't correlate at all. Those two things are just not perpendicular. They're parallel. And then now, I mean, you look where he's at. And he's lost, apparently, a ton of movement in most of his pitches, especially his slider. I always get into this kind of stuff when you look really at, like, movements of pitches, because, yes, it matters. It matters a lot. It's like, half an inch is ridiculous. And I'm not even talking about half an inch of movement. Let's look at his slider for a second. His slider back in 2019 was at 35.9 inches of vertical drop. It's pretty cool. That's a pretty good number. Like, that's a really good number. Now, in 2021, on average, when he throws his slider, it's at 34.4. So he's lost 1.5 inches of vertical drop on his slider, which is one of his good pitches. And don't get me wrong, we've seen a good Mitch Keller start this year whenever he faced Chicago. That was like the Mitch Keller that everybody's expecting to see. Now you go to the most basic pitch in any pitcher's arsenal, his fastball, which in 2019 topped out at 95.4 on average, is now 94.8. So he's lost miles per hour on his fastball, and his spin rate's down. And your spin rate when you're a pitcher, for those that don't know, is the most important part of how you strike guys out. Because, yeah, fastball pretty much goes straight, but the thing's spinning like a mother effer, it's going to be crazy. And back in 2019, he had a 2.473 RPM. Now it's just a 2.361. His slider, 2.611 in 2019, 2.353 in 2021. It's crazy to think about that. Because it's not like Keller is like a 33-year-old. He's just lost his stuff. And he used to always, and if you go back and watch Mitch Keller in AAA or even his major league debut season in 19, where did he always throw his slider? Go back and watch it. If you even want to pause right now, go back and watch it, and then I'll give you the answer if you still haven't saw it. He always used to work down and through the middle. and it would sweep away. And he would always work his fastball towards left-handers very close to them to tie them up, like most pitchers do. And now, he just doesn't do it. He doesn't hit the strike zone. He doesn't do it. So all of this is mechanical stuff, by the way. This is just the mechanics that he's already struggling with. He doesn't hit the strike zone at all half the time. And if he does, he throws it damn near right down the middle. But also, when you look at him pitch, and you see Pirates beat writers all say this, and when he looks like he pitches, he just doesn't look like he wants to be there. And the kid is 25. Don't get me wrong, I think he came up too early. I think they should have waited until maybe even this year for him to make his debut. But minor league options happen. But, like, for me, is not too many guys who play baseball, especially pitchers, get the opportunity to go out on the mound and start. And he just lacks enthusiasm. He looks unprepared every time he gets on the mound, almost. And I don't mean to be so harsh about it, but it's something that everybody else sees outside of Pittsburgh. They look at Mitch Keller, and I feel like teams laugh when they know Mitch Keller is pitching against them now, because they could just put their bat on their shoulders until the count's 3-1 and you know that he's going to pitch a strike. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where, why in the world is Mitch Keller not able to hit the strike zone? Why is his spin rate dropping? Why is his movement dropping? Why is, like, he just unable to strike guys out with the stuff that he has? Because that's one of the things that aggravates me about Mitch Keller so much, is he has all the stuff in the world. He has all the move. He has all of it. Like, he has the potential. He has the mechanics. But for some reason, he can't tap into it. And again, it's only 3 starts so far. 3. He had the 2 bad ones against San Diego, the 1 bad one against Cincinnati, I believe it was, and the good one against Chicago last week. So 1 out of 3 times, he's given us a good start. Okay, that's fine. Maybe he gives us a good start in his next outing, and I'm having a completely different conversation. But this is a story we've seen before. Is this Tyler Glasnow all over again? I don't think so, because at this point, I don't think they get rid of another pitcher like this, because I don't see who wants him. And 2, well, somebody would. He's 25. But at this point, could Mitch Keller be costing Oscar Marin his job? For those who don't know, Oscar Marin is the pitching coach of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And to me, he's a pretty good one. I mean, he's doing what he can. And he's also coached the Texas Rangers before this in 2019. And he's a young coach, too. He's only 38. So you would think he would be able to tap into the mind of a young guy. And Marin, again, you look at his, like, where he's been and everything. And it's kind of interesting because he was hired as the pitching coach in 2019. So he wasn't there when Glasnow was. He's a part of the new regime. And one thing that often you can see with this kind of stuff is it's rare that the pitcher ever goes. It's always more or less the coach. This happens. You see it in every sport. I mean, just because a team is rebuilding, you could see, like, a manager get, like, moved down immediately or fired just because of that. You see it in football, you see it in basketball, you see it in baseball all the time. And for Oscar Marin, it's something that has to be creeping in the back of his mind, because, let's be honest, Tyler Anderson, Trevor Cahill, and Stephen Wright, and guys like that are not going to be here after this year. And they already have the tools they need. They're just older now. They just don't throw as hard. And they don't need that. I mean, they're going to obviously learn what they can from him, but they've already learned pretty much everything they can learn. JT Brubaker and Mitch Keller are going to basically make or break Oscar Marin's job. And if Mitch Keller keeps going the way he's going, he might break it. Like, Brubaker's been great, as I mentioned earlier. Why can't Mitch Keller do the same thing? Let me know your thoughts about Mitch Keller on Twitter at Locked On Pirates or on my personal Twitter at MVP_Ethan. This is your boy, Ethan Smith, the host who does the most. I hope you guys have a fabulous weekend as we watch the Pittsburgh Pirates take on the Milwaukee Brewers in the House of Horrors that is the former Miller Park. Thank you so much. I will see you guys on Monday. Might record a podcast this weekend. You never know. Things happen that are always crazy in baseball. But either way, catch you on the flip side, everybody. Thank you so much.